Muhammad knew Aisha through and through, and she must have convinced him. Because as soon as she had finished speaking, he fell into the deep trance that was so often a prelude to revelation. He swooned, and Abu Bakr put a leather cushion under his head while he and his wife waited, terrified, for God's judgment. "Good news, Aisha!" Muhammad cried at last. God had confirmed her innocence. Overcome with relief, her parents urged her to get up and come to her husband, but Aisha remained implacable. "I shall neither come to him nor thank him," she replied, "nor will I thank the both of you, who listened to the slander and did not deny it. I shall rise and give thanks to Allah alone." Duly chastened, Muhammad humbly accepted the rebuke and went to recite the new revelation to the crowd that had gathered outside. A personal and political tragedy had been averted, but doubts remained. The distressing incident had shown how vulnerable Muhammad was. Was he, as Ibn Ubay had so cruelly suggested, a spent fire? But in March 628, the month of the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca, Muhammad made a startling announcement that proved to be an extraordinary demonstration of his prophetic genius. It seems that he had no clearly defined plan at the outset, but only a dimly perceived insight. He told the Muslims that he had had a strange, numinous dream. He had seen himself standing in the Haram of Mecca with the shaven head of the pilgrim, wearing the traditional Hajji costume and holding the key to the Kaaba, filled with a serene assurance of victory. The next morning, he announced that he intended to make the Hajj pilgrimage and invited his companions to accompany him. It is easy to imagine the fear, wonder, and uncertain joy that filled the Muslims when they heard this startling invitation. Muhammad made it clear that this would not be a military expedition. Pilgrims were forbidden to carry weapons during the Hajj, and he had no intention of violating the Meccan sanctuary, where all fighting was forbidden. Umar objected. The Muslims would go like lambs to the slaughter. It was essential that they were able to defend themselves. But Muhammad was adamant. "I will not carry arms," he said firmly. "I am setting out with no other end than to make the pilgrimage." The pilgrims would wear no armour, but simply the traditional white robes of the Hajji. At the beginning of the journey, they could carry a small hunting knife to kill game, but they would have to lay these aside once they had made their formal consecration. They would have to march unarmed into enemy territory.